Yeah, I thought we got rid of all of them.
Just for the week. Going fishing, you know.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello everybody and welcome to our show. We are Just Another Movie Night and I am Scott and with me is my dog trainer, Joe.
I thought you were going to call me your rabid dog.
I feel like I said that last week or the week before.
Did you?
I don't even know anymore what
no,
I said.
No, you didn't say rabid dog last week, I don't think.
Coming up with a new one every week is weird. guess what today is? Guess what we're doing?
Talking trash?
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is it the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And it's August, and our little show has gone to the dogs. We are celebrating National Dog Month and National Dog Day on August 26th by watching some low-rated dog flicks for the month. And because next month is National Cat Month, we are watching cat movies. So it's dogs versus cats. And this week, we are watching a movie with the tagline, "Last summer, they were pets. Now, they are predators." We are talking about 1977's The Pack. Mm-hmm. It has a 5.9 on IMDb from 1,381 reviewers. It was written and directed by Robert Kloss, the director of Enter the Dragon and Gymkhana. It's based on the book by David Fisher. It had a $2 million budget, and it made 2.4 back.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It stars Mitchell himself, Joe Don Baker, who's a fan favorite in this house.
Yeah. He's a national treasure in our house. We love Joe Don. We love us some Joe Don. Yeah,
thanks to Mystery Science Theater for introducing us back when we were young to Mr. Baker himself. He plays Jerry in this movie. It also stars R.G. Armstrong as Cobb. He was in Dick Tracy and the movie Predator. It also stars Bebe Besh as Marge. You know her as Carol Marcus from Wrath of Khan.
Oh my God, yes, I knew it.
Yeah, you know, the character who invented the Genesis program, but
yes,
then got in the second one, just was acted like she never existed.
Oh my God, I knew her.
Yeah. It also stars Richard B. Scholl as Handelman. He was in Splash. So, yeah, we are talking about The Pack. This is our third dog movie of the month. And I would say so far, as the movies have gone on, they've been silly, they've been fun, and they've been so bad it's good type of movies. You know, this is our second movie with dogs packing up.
Mm-hmm.
But this one did not have a linear accelerator. It also didn't have Dracula being in control of an evil dog.
I like that.
And I don't know, maybe it's bold to say, but this is the best so far. I didn't expect us to go upward. But I think we did this week.
I think we really did.
Yeah. An interesting thing about this movie was that it originally was released with a PG rating, but the studio asked the MPAA to re-rate it to an R. I've never heard someone want an R.
Wow. I mean, I get it. I get why they want an R.
Well, the MPAA didn't give them an R. Usually you don't want that because you want more people to see it, and they wanted it to have an R because I think they thought that would sell it harder.
Hmm.
Strange, right? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So I think another important thing here to mention right now the gate is that the animal trainer. So I guess we should talk about him because he's a legend in the film industry. Carl Lewis Miller, known for being the Lassie trainer.
Oh.
Yeah, he also did Babe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he also did Raising Arizona, Stand By Me, K-9, Monster Squad, Beethoven, and last week's movie, Dracula's Dog.
Oh, wow.
So this guy, his career, he retired early and passed away at 66, unfortunately. But he, I mean, when you look at a movie and you go, wow, the dog stuff in this movie is impressive, it's him.
Wow, okay, yeah, because I said that about six times.
Yeah, when they made Babe, he said that he took, that was the biggest challenge of his career. And they rounded up all the animal trainers mm-hmm. and made that one movie. So, yeah, I mean, pretty damn impressive. I know that the thing that we're going to have to talk about the most is that the dogs in this movie, it's insane.
Okay, well, I was feeling some kind of way. I'm not going to lie, because the dogs, there were many of them, and they looked like they were very hurt, like really hurt. Like they were missing patches of hair. They were bleeding. Their eyes were like covered in some sort of gel or something.
Yeah, they're doing some prosthetic effects on these dogs that made them look vicious.
I feel like they were going through some sort of PTSD, and I'm like concerned because I feel like this is not the way things that they treated. I mean, I think they treated these dogs poorly. Something's not right. They look like they were really injured. I know what movie makeup looks like. This looked real. It looked real.
Here's some interesting facts.
Okay.
He trained 35 dogs for this film. 35 dogs. There was 15 dogs in the cast, like as the main dogs. Every dog had a body double or a double. So that's why there was 35, because he wanted to make sure that every dog had some what could do a certain thing in the movie.
Okay.
Right? So he the lead dog, which I guess was named Josh, in real life, was an animal shelter rescue dog that he took in and trained. He found this dog in a shelter.
Okay. Well, when he found the dog in the shelter, was he all battered like that?
Honey, that's not real. That's makeup.
No, that's not makeup. That looked real. It looked real. It looked like, you know, like when your dog like has like, you know, we've had this before with our prior pet. He had hot spots and he would rip his hair out.
That could have been from the animal rescue because they said that he was in the rescue center for years when he found him.
Oh my God. I swear this animal had PTSD for real. There's like, there's something just not right. He looked very injured for real.
Well, I mean, again, yeah, there is definitely when you watch these movies, you have to say to yourself, what is the realistic thing here? What's not? I mean, the same can be said for Cujo. Like I was talking about this during the movie because you were freaking out. And I kept saying, do you remember Cujo? Because, wow. I mean, that dog, it's insane how they did that movie.
Yes, but there was also a guy in a suit. For Cujo.
Is there?
Yes. Yes.
I have to look into that.
There is a guy in a suit for Cujo. This movie literally had dogs being run over, okay?
Chasing. Don't say run over.
Well, chasing okay. dogs, chasing cars.
Yes.
You know, almost getting hit by cars. I mean, this is next level abuse in my opinion.
All right. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, I would like to say that this is movie magic and they're not doing the things that
I mean I'm not saying that they're literally being abused, but I feel like holy shit, this is too close for comfort.
I will say that this is a movie that will cause anybody who's a dog lover to really
have anxiety.
I don't even think they could watch this movie.
No, I was having anxiety the whole time because literally the car would come like within maybe you could slide a piece of paper between the two of them. Like it would come so close to the dogs where like the dogs were chasing the car and barking at the tires and running up to the car as the car was moving.
Yeah.
I was like, this is too much for me.
Oh, it's intense. There's shots. I was like, okay, I'm worried. Like I was like, how? I don't even know how they're doing it. It is, like I said, as an animal lover myself, like, I don't want to see any animals get hurt either. Like, I don't like it. But, you know, it's like, this is the villain of the movie. These dogs are the villains of this movie.
No, I understand that.
And so it's like kind of like that that double-edged sword, you know, where you feel like, can I enjoy this? And also, can I? And like it's, I feel like I'm on the side, like, oh my God. I think it's what made the movie feel the way I liked it because of it. You know what I mean? But I also know that it's like, wow, like, this is intense. And I'm glad I didn't see this with some of my friends who just can't separate the dog thing. Because, you know, there is that conversation these days where people are like, rather let the humans die than the dogs. You know, that whole conversation, which
I think those people are psychopaths.
I think it's a little intense. Like, I don't want to call anybody a psychopath, but I'm like,
if you choose a dog over a human,
I don't think
you
should choose either one. It's like, I don't want anybody to, anything to die.
No, but like, I mean, if you choose an animal, you
say specifically, let the human die.
Even
when the dog's the villain in the situation, that's when I'm like, something's wrong. Like, I get it. I think a lot of that is also people being like silly, because if they were in that situation, they wouldn't. What are they going to willingly let the dog eat them? No.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, the thing that bothers me, I thought you had more trivia than that. Because
unfortunately, I searched the internet. I can't find much.
I mean,
I do know that he kept them on a strict diet to make them look more skinny. I know that.
That's fucking cruel.
Well, it wasn't. It was more the like how greyhounds and stuff are muscle based. So it kept them on vitamins and dry dog food instead of wet dog food.
Okay.
And he said that would make them appear more like hungry in the film.
Okay. I feel like, you know, we watched them. Okay. So yes, obviously the dogs are villains. So some of them are going to die in this movie and we're going to see it. But the effects were like Mario Bava style with the freaking red paint. And you could tell that it wasn't blood. But when you looked at these dogs up close, they looked like they were really bleeding.
Well, there's shots of the dogs up close that the like you said, the wounds and the look. Because I do know for a fact that they put these fake, like, snarl mouths on the dogs that are prosthetics. It's basically like they wear it, so it makes them look like they're growling and showing their teeth off, but it's fake.
I couldn't tell that.
It's hard to tell, but I know we've seen this in other movies where we've seen the fake thing on the face that makes them look like they're nuts. And there's a lot of that in this movie, and it's very hard to tell what isn't and what is. Especially with the eyes. There's some shots at the end of this movie where the eyes are just insane. Like, I don't know how they're doing it. Yeah, but that being said, like, you never see a dog get killed in the movie. You never see that. You never see fully like the animals. You see them, like, they'll shoot and you hear a dog cry off camera. So there's a lot of that in this movie, but it's not like The Thing, where the opening of The Thing is the most insane thing you've ever watched in your life.
Yeah, this movie's definitely implied, but, like, I'm just more concerned about the dog's welfare as they're, you know, being actors in this movie, because they just seem like they were really, I mean, they're probably amazingly trained, because we know this dog trainer is really top notch, but I just feel like the wounds on them look real.
It's
crazy.
And that's why I'm like, you know, what's that? What do you say, like, that warning you give, like, people, like,
oh yeah,
if you're sensitive to certain things, like, the huge warning. This is a movie like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. Let's talk about it, because let's talk into the film now, because I would say that I'm kind of surprised how impressed I was with the movie, because I even liked how this movie starts out. It kind of starts out setting up its characters, and it does it in a way where you're kind of like, you instantly know, like, who is the assholes, like, who are the good people. Like, you kind of get that real quick.
Mm-hmm. They set that up right away. We know that Joe Don, he's going to be the protagonist of the film. He's going to be the hero. And I like everybody that's, like, associated with him.
Yeah. I I guess we should actually, what really happens in the beginning of this movie, before we kind of get the character set, you kind of get the idea or the scope of what's to come real quickly. It's not one of those movies where you're finding out on the side, like, there's a linear accelerator in town, and there's always, like, scientific things happening.
No, they tell you right up front.
They show it with a horse being scared. And I'm guessing maybe, like, they fired a gun off screen, and it startled the horse, and the horse runs, and we follow the horse running, and you don't see what's exactly happening, but you quickly get it's being chased by a pack of dogs. Mm-hmm. And then we get another shot of this couple. I guess it's the end of summer, and families have come to this island for a vacation. And the families, when they come to the vacation, they, like, the one family we see here, it has bought their kid, like, a dog from a shelter. And then they're leaving. They're like, you're not taking the dog with you. The dog's staying behind.
Then I don't understand this. Why get the dog for the kid in the first place?
Like,
and why leave the dog there?
As an entertainment, like, almost like a throwaway, like, Game Boy. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane.
It's like, here's an animal to keep you company while you're on vacation, but, you know, we're going to leave him behind, so you have to suffer the freaking rawest form of disappointment and sadness of your young life.
This poor kid's going to be like, I mean, it probably won't last long in this kid's mind, but the family's like, no, we're going to leave him behind. And instead of bringing the dog back to a shelter, they say, oh, just tie it up in the backyard. It'll get loose, and then it'll live free. And it won't, like, its shelter is going to be worse for it.
Oh, my God.
That's what this family's saying. This woman's telling the husband to do.
It's just, and the son's crying. Bizarre. Like, I would be crying, too, if I was that kid. First of all, you're exposing this dog to the elements. How do you know he's going to get loose?
Exactly.
He could die there.
Yeah, they gave him a thin rope around him and tied it to a tree to allow him to get loose.
Bob, did you get your sweater out of the closet?
Yes.
Then we're about ready.
Except for the dog. Go take care of that, okay?
You don't think we'll find someone in the city to take care of it?
No, I don't. Look, we'd end up giving it to the pound, and they'd end up gassing it, which is exactly what would have happened if we hadn't come along.
Bobby, now don't go acting like a baby. Gotta be a big fella. Flint wouldn't be happy in the city. There's no place to run. I'll tie him out in the trees. Just enough to hold him till the ferry comes. He'll get away when he tries hard enough. Bobby, we gotta hurry now. We're gonna make the ferry. Okay. Come on, boy. Come on. There, you're gonna be okay. You'll be all right. Sure, somebody'll come and take you in. Okay. Oh, Bobby.
And we see this poor dog, like, crying and stuff. Like, it's right off the bat, there is a sensitivity warning. Like,
it's heart-wrenching. You're a dog person like me, I am a dog person.
Yeah.
So I was all automatically like, fuck this movie. Because I was like, this is going to be brutal. It's going to, I mean, more brutal than Dracula's dog. Or The Hound of Hell, or whatever that movie was called.
Yeah. Something about that movie, it wasn't as intense in as it is in this movie.
Yeah, this one's just next level.
And I think it's probably because of how wacky the scenario is in that last movie that made us be like, yeah, it's kind of quaint.
Yeah.
But this week, it was like, it felt all too real.
Oh, my God. See how somber I am?
Real.
I am, like, somber as hell. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I was jolted. It's just crazy.
It is wild that this week we're going from talking trash to being, like, sensitive.
Oh, my God.
This warning.
My feelings are coming out.
The talking trash gang is beat down this week. And
yeah, we're pretty defeated. I mean, this movie.
Oh, let's. I gotta.
Rough. And I didn't mean. No pun intended.
I see what you did.
No
there.
Pun intended that time.
I see what you did.
That time.
Yeah, I had to look into this. You know, I had to do a search while we were watching this movie to search anything about summer vacationers leaving dogs behind or leaving animals behind when they go back home. And I found out that in Europe, this is a huge problem.
What do you mean in Europe?
That people are leaving their animals still. When I found an article from 2016 or something like that, where people, it was a huge epidemic, like epidemic. Like it was just like they were leaving them behind. So like 100,000 animals were being left behind. Like it's insane. They said the animal shelters were just full of abandoned pets.
What is wrong with these people?
I have no idea. And then I got it conflicted because every article I kept seeing kept switching it around. It was like people leaving to go on vacation, leave their pets behind.
What, to die?
I have no idea. Like, it was a problem. Like, what the hell? But then I searched, like, do left behind animals pack up? Have they been problems to humans? And then that kind of got some answers where it was like, yes, they have been known to become aggressive because of the PTSD of being left behind.
Yeah, and they're stuck out there. These dogs in particular are stuck out there in the wilderness, exposed to the elements, and have no food.
Yeah,
they have to hunt, and, you know, they're not hunting dogs. They're like freaking pets, for crying out loud. Yeah. They're domesticated pets.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't have the skills to survive out there, so they become feral, and, you know, they have, like, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're, like, crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I understand that, but, like, who the hell are these people that are leaving pets behind on, like, an island after they go on vacation?
I couldn't find any, like, American, I couldn't find information about it. So I was, like, it came right up as being a problem in other countries, I mean. And I was, like, well, I can't find any information about America. Like, is this a thing that's happened? Have there been problems? I couldn't find anything out.
I mean, I need to know more about this because
I was kind of shocked that it happened in other. It's happening in other places.
I feel like if you just, you know, dump your dog on the side of the road and or leave it on some island, you should be arrested. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with you.
That's animal cruelty.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like how crazy that is.
It is.
So this movie starts off with those two things. Those are the two set pieces. Like this opening this movie, but then we see all of summer vacationers are leaving, and only one boat is returning with some other vacationers. So it's these people who are coming at the end of the summer to go on a fishing trip, and apparently the reason is because they're rich, because the guy who is in coming in has brought his apparent secretary, his son, his banker. And I don't know who this other woman is.
I don't know who. I think she works for the banker. I think she works for the banker.
I think they all work for him, this rich guy.
I don't know. It seems like, at first I was asking you, I'm like, is that his wife? Because she looked like an older lady, but they never said that they were married and they didn't act married.
This is my secretary, Marge. Lois? She's our cook this week. Real good fish cook.
Good to have one of those.
And this is Harry Walker, my vice president.
How do you do?
And my son, Tommy, you know.
So it was really weird with this group of people from the beginning, because when they arrived on the island, like, you can automatically tell that his son was kind of like, you know, a little bit of like an introvert. He didn't really want to talk much. He was like, you know, I would say in his early 20s, maybe. And then the secretary, who was probably in her early 20s too, she was pretty and blonde and, you know, bubbly. And it seemed like the father's whole motivation for bringing the secretary was so that his son could bed her.
Yes.
Now that's a plot weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. He kept pushing the issue.
Yeah.
And she was going along with it, but the son did not want to have anything to do with her.
Yeah. As we get on the plot, that starts happening.
It was such a weird plot line to throw into a movie like this. Like, how bizarre. Why would we need this silly plot line in a movie about rabid dogs? Like, that's crazy.
Well, just getting to know our characters and who they are. I actually thought the son character was going to be a big part of the movie.
No.
I actually did think he was going to be, like, more of, you know, somewhere where he's going to be giving them help about the animals and what's going on, And none of that. I was really wrong with
these
this.
Characters really didn't. I'm going to tell you, they literally brought nothing to this film.
Oh, well, they brought something to this film. It's fodder. They are here as the victims.
I mean, that's it.
And you need to do that. You need to bring victims into films. Like,
right, but why would they push any plot on us with them? You know, it's like, okay, just say they're here to fish. Big deal. You don't need to go into all that.
I disagree. I think a better movie is making you not know what's about to happen to each character. Like, set up a character so you don't know where they're going to end up. And who is our main focal point? Who is going to be our heroes? Like, who's going to do something different? You want to get that. And that really threw me off with those characters because I thought that a couple other scenarios were going to play out here. You know, like, you feel like one, you know, actually two, you always know that the rich guy and the banker are pretty much done.
Just ask Jurassic Park.
Yeah. You usually that's how this runs out. Like, you always kind of know they're always portrayed as the assholes and is always the eat the rich. Yeah. Is the big metaphor in almost all these movies. And you kind of know that's where they're going to go. But the son, the secretary, the other woman, no idea. Like, I was like, okay, they're setting these characters up. They're doing things. So this can play out totally different and you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we should mention the other characters. So we have three local men. One is a marine biologist who is Joe Don Baker, who came to the island to study shrimp.
This Jerry fellow, he's a weird one. Looks like he could take on the world, but he's stuck himself out here.
Jerry's been about everywhere and done about everything. He was with the Alaska Fishing Game for a few years. Then he tied up with our fishing game, and they sent him over here for 2 years to study shrimp.
To study shrimp?
Well, I know it sounds kind of funny, and I did a bit of laughing about it myself when I first heard about it. But if you like a shrimp cocktail every once in a while, it gets kind of important. Helping to save him from dying out is what I mean.
He's a marine biologist.
That's his schooling, ma'am.
I know, it's weird. Okay. And also, Joe Don Baker as the marine biologist makes me laugh. I just know him as usually like the cowboy character or the redneck.
Yeah, the cop. He's like a...
He's always a cop or redneck or something.
Yeah.
He's there as that, and he stayed. What we're told is that he came there to study, but then he stayed because he liked it.
Yeah.
And one of the other summer vacationers who came in with their son to stay on the island met him, and she was come every summer would come back to spend time with him, and it blossomed into a real relationship. And she decided to not go back home.
Yeah.
So he actually has a son as well. They're both widowers. And they connected with their sons, started becoming friends, and he started building them a house on the island to stay there together. So that's the plot line, is that she came back in for the summer, and he is showing them the house he's building for them. And there's two other fishermen. One is the rich people. He's bringing the rich people out to go fishing. They're coming in. There is an asshole fisherman.
They're going fishing.
Another bunch using bed bait, huh?
Well, you can catch a lot of things that way.
Crabs.
There's always an asshole.
There's one asshole. And then there's a nice old blind man and his dog.
Hmm.
Yeah. And these are our characters. Well, I guess at the end of around this time is also when the summer's ending, the bad weather starts coming in. So we're also having like rainstorms and windstorms coming in. And that's the big plot. And these dogs are on the loose.
Now, there's no less than 15 of these dogs.
They said there's 15 main dogs in this film. So I'm guessing the pack themselves, there's about 12. Right?
Now,
everybody has a dog of their own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Joe Don Baker has a German Shepherd.
He has a nice dog, yeah.
Yeah.
The blind man has a dog.
Yeah. And those are the goodest dogs.
And then there's also the dog that's tied up.
Yeah. That poor guy just got subjected to that life. You know, he was a domesticated pet. And then they're just like, here, you know, go F yourself. Go fend for yourself.
Yeah.
And he got paired up with all these other dogs that were losing their minds. So he's like, you know, a fish out of water right now, this poor guy. And I feel bad for him. He's cute. He's a little collie. He is really cute. And so now he's forced to run with the feral.
Yeah, and when he does get loose, we see he tries to join up with them.
Yeah. Yeah, he tries to join up with them. And I got to tell you, you know, I know these dogs are supposed to be the villains in this scenario, but I feel like they're victims.
You know? Okay, so that's one of the points of the movie, and what I kind of like about it is that, yeah, like, I think that most of these killer animal films, except maybe Cujo, a lot of the times it's brought on humans to by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of a message, just like, yeah, this is, I think the birds, right? Like, the way you look at it is like, we're messing up the environment. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing bad things. Sooner or later, these animals could just turn on us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the groundwork on almost every animal attack film, I think. It's always, I think the best ones actually kind of hammer that message in a little bit. And I think this movie does a damn good job of that. Like, these are abandoned animals.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to turn on the people who abandoned them, you know, and unfortunately, that's some people who aren't bad guys.
Yeah, the freaking abandoners got on a boat and went back to exactly. their freaking lavish homes.
So the people who got left behind are the ones that have to be the victims. And that's it's sad. And I agree on all fronts. Like, yeah, they're, while I agree, they have a leader dog. And he is the one that's like, he's been through some stuff.
Oh my
and
God.
He might have rabies. We don't really know, but he is the leader dog.
Yeah, he's got some issues. But you know, I have a question for you, and I was going to ask you when we were watching the movie, but I just decided to leave it for now. So, okay, how long did it take for these animals to go completely bonkers? Like, how long were they on the island before they decided to just start attacking everyone? Because this seems like an isolated event. They weren't attacking other tourists when they were there.
Well, the only thing we're told is that I would say that, yeah, this has been the summer coming, because what we're hearing is this pack of dogs is being led. There was probably that one feral dog, and then they started packing up with the other dogs who are abandoned. So with this whole summer, I'm guessing these 12 dogs are a bunch of left behind dogs. And I do agree that, what are the odds it just all happens now?
Right.
But, I think it also starts where they're probably being hunting animals in the forest and stuff like that, or small animals and things like that. It's when they kill this one guy's dog. When they kill this one, the lead fisherman's horse. Mm-hmm. Who has gotten out, and they're looking for the horse. And now we know that the dogs have attacked the horse. Joe Don Baker and his kids, they find the dead horse, and it's completely just devoured. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is ripped up. And I think that is the beginning incident of them becoming more blood hungry.
Okay, that makes sense, because, you know, it actually wouldn't make sense if they were literally on this island for years and years, and, you know, with each passing summer, someone else left their dog. It would be a gradual descent into madness for each dog.
Yeah, I would say that they, as they're eating and getting the taste of it, they're getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that this lead dog, usually one lead dog can attack one person. Or, you know, maybe a couple people, but when you're in a pack is when you could really do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great animal work in this movie where you can see this lead dog doesn't want to attack until he has his backup.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of great scenes where he's coming around like the side of a barn, and he's kind of a slowly approaching, growling, but he keeps looking over his shoulder. And then all of the dogs come out from behind him. And then he's like, now we can attack.
Yeah, there's
really well done
shots of like where they pan to the scared adult. And all of a sudden the adult turns around and there's just a pack just sitting there, just staring like Michael Myers in like, you know, the darkness. And you could just see them standing there and just lurking and like freaking night stalkers.
Yeah.
It is really cool. Like, there is a lot of, like, off-putting spooky moments in this movie where, like, these dogs are, like, they're almost, like, they're stalking and they're almost, like, ghostly.
Yeah, I agree. It's
crazy.
I absolutely agree. Like, you, it's kind of tense. Every time something's about to happen, you're like, oh, my God. And what I really like is I kind of feel bad for everybody. Like, bad for the dogs. Yeah. I feel everybody. I'm like, I feel bad.
Yeah.
That's what starts happening here is that Joe Don Baker's dog goes out, senses them. So it goes over and is attacked. And his leg is hurt. And again, this is the dogs haven't started attacking humans yet. But this is where they're like, you know, we're starting to wonder about it and think about it.
Yeah.
So they attack another dog, which is a big deal going forward. Because I think that's what happens when the first kill of a human happens is because a dog is a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're starting to attack other dogs. So Joe Don Baker sees the dog for the first time, the lead dog, and is like, oh my God. Like the dog, he's trying to scare him off like a normal person, like get, and the dog is not budging. And then he's starting to be like, okay,
The leader of this gang of dogs is very
the presence
scary.
Of this dog is
very scary. I mean, he's snarling and just sitting there staring with like his teeth showing. It is, I mean, next level.
It's like black eyes,
black soulless eyes.
It's crazy
because like when you look at like when you see Cujo, like I mean, I could, you know, remember Cujo in the beginning, of course, before he gets bit by the bat or whatever, that he is really like huge Saint Bernard, mm-hmm. right? And he's snuggly and cute. This dog, it's like they just picked the most amazing dog because he just looked like he had been through something and he was just not taking your shit.
Yeah.
You know? So like right from the beginning, there was no gradual increase of scary. He was just right out of the gate. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to freaking kill your ass. Like, I'm going to eat you.
Agreed.
Period. And I love that. I don't like, I mean, sometimes I like the descent into madness, you know, where you just see that the changes are happening. But this one did not even fuck around. It was just like, boom.
So true.
Boom. I'm just going to bring this to you right now. These dogs are savages. They are, and they're cute as hell too, but they're all fucked up. They're all like bloody. And like, at some point they look like zombies.
Yeah.
And it looked like they actually had a Doberman too, which reminded me of Resident Evil.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. There is a bunch of these dogs that are scary.
Yeah.
One of them does look like Dracula's dog, by the way.
Oh my God.
Zoltan.
Oh my God. Totally. So what starts happening now is that one by one, these dogs start attacking the humans on the island.
Well, not one by one, but yeah, it does start.
I mean, pretty
because
much.
What happens to make this all, I think the catalyst is that the blind man and his dog, they start trying to go around the house of the blind man, and the dog goes to protect him, and that's where it starts, because all of the dogs all come out and they kill this guy's dog.
They now attack him. Now, the attack scenes are really, it happens in the dark, but you can still see.
Oh, they show some stuff.
I feel like, okay, who is telling these dogs to bite each other? This is what I'm talking about. Like, it's a little bit, you know, upsetting because anyone who loves dogs can look at this and be like, they're biting each other for real. Like, this isn't, you can't, I mean, dogs are actors to an extent, you know, they're really biting each other.
It's insane. Like how it's done is incredible. Like I can't believe they were able to do what they were doing. But yes, I think this is the start because the old man fires a shotgun and kills one of the dogs. And we're a little confused on if he shot his own dog by accident.
It looked like he shot
later on. I think we see two dogs.
A German Shepherd, which was his. He had a German Shepherd too, just like Joe Don Baker.
Hmm.
And it looked like he shot his own dog. But, you know, we couldn't tell because there were so many things happening on the screen. But my favorite thing about this is that these dogs are so pissed that they jump through the window of this old man's house, this blind man. And they jump through the window like savages and they show it. And it's freaking badass. And they just tear this guy up.
Yeah, I mean, and it just looks insane.
It looks so intense. Good. Like, I was talking about the last movie and how good those scenes look with the animal attacks. No. This looks amazing.
This one is, it's, you feel, and of course, this is a blind man. You feel awful for watching this. You're like, oh my God,
I felt poor guy, so bad.
And he just lost his dog. And it's just like, oh my God, this is terrible. But this is where the bloodlust starts.
Oh yeah.
Now they know what they like.
Oh yeah. So they had a taste of Old Man Withers. I don't remember what his name is, but
he pretty much is. He looks like Stinky Pete.
He does. But like,
from Toy Story, if anybody doesn't know. I have to point this out real fast because I think another reason why this movie works so much over the last two movies we watched is that there is, and all, by the way, we should also point this out, all the three movies we've done so far this month are all 77. So I don't know what's going on in 77, but dogs were a hot button, apparently, because I can't believe we watched three back to back. Like, and I will say one of the things that sets this one apart from those two is the score. Because in the last two movies, what we got was a bunch of what we hate about the 70s, which is these terrible scores that sound like they're afternoon specials. Like, you know, after school specials that you come home and you're like, what is this? It doesn't feel scary.
Yeah.
This movie is using a very subtle score that is, it's just doing what it needs to do to make it creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Never does it just play a woman like singing in the shower, which is like a lot of the scores in these movies.
No, we don't have that. This, I got to tell you something. This movie really had me on edge, and it was very unexpected because I'm here thinking, okay, these are just going to look really kind of like silly attacks. Like there's going to be a guy with like clear padding underneath his clothes. And it wasn't that at all. And can we talk about clothes, by the way? This is the 70s. I feel like there was maybe a lumberjack store nearby because this is like plaid country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not one character was not wearing plaid. They were all wearing plaid.
One of my favorite bits is that the banker, he's very out of his element. He brought special clothes that he's never been able to wear before. It is like plaid socks up to his knees and shorts and really short shorts.
No, the socks were black knee socks, like black knee dress socks.
Oh, I thought they were like checkerboard or something like that.
No, his shorts were plaid checkerboard.
Oh, okay.
So like on any human being in this movie, there was something plaid. Most of them were wearing flannels, even the women. Oh, I mean, pretty much all of them were wearing plaid in some fashion. It was crazy. But you know what? I got to say, there was the occasional turtleneck, since we're talking about the fashion, but it was kind of like accentuated by the plaid flannel. So it looked real, really, really 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got to say, Joe Don Baker, he rocks anything he wears.
We were talking about that. Can we talk about what age do you think he was during this movie?
Okay, let me see. So Joe Don Baker in this movie, I'm going to say, you know, I think he still looked pretty debonair.
I think he always looked the same.
He was maybe 38.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
You didn't think he was like an older guy?
No,
in this movie.
No, because the 70s, you never know how old anyone is.
That's true. He was 41.
Oh, I was close. Okay.
I'm shocked that you said that because everybody in the 70s looked like they were all 55.
Well, I will say the secretary, the one that was being pushed on the sun there, she looked a little older.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, even though she was supposed to be in her 20s, I think, she looked like she was maybe in her 40s. I would say that because no, you can't ever tell anyone's age in the 70s.
That's what I was
also the 80s. I mean, anyone that went to high school in the 80s looked like they were 38 too. So it was like, you can't tell. They all look like, you know, they had freaking mustaches and, you know, the feathered hair, and they just look like porno actors.
Yeah. You know, everybody always makes jokes. They're like, you always hear people talk about older movies and they go, oh, it's a school movie. So everybody in the movie looks, they must have hired a whole bunch of 50-year-olds to play the kids. No, they were pretty much like 20-something.
Yeah.
Like every time you look into it, you're like, oh my God, they really were 20.
Yeah. So in the 80s, when you're 20, you look 40, right? And so now when you're 40, you look 25.
And now, these days, Michael Cera. Michael Cera still looks exactly the same.
Oh my God. And how old is like, Michael Cera?
I feel like he's got to be 39.
Oh my God. He looks like he's 15 still.
I know. That's what I'm getting at.
It's crazy.
Like all the guys from Superbad.
Yeah. McLovin. He still looks 12. Yeah. Right? Oh my God. I got to know how old Michael Cera is. 37.
I was close.
Oh my God.
I was close. He was like Scott Pilgrim when he was like 30.
Oh my God.
I know, it's crazy.
Oh man.
So, okay, like, so yeah, after this blind guy gets killed, that's when the movie starts getting more and more intense. We get a little more about every character, kind of. I mean, not really much, because the movie is not, they have to start ramping up the horror aspect. We see that these dogs have packed up and they're living in an abandoned barn. That's a thing, and it's really cool to watch all the dogs come in and out of the house, like of the barn, in different holes.
Yeah, it's cool.
They shoot it really well, and that's when we see that the dog got loose with his rope, and has packed up with them. But he always has like a necktie, so you always recognize him. You see this like tie on him.
Man,
he gets stuck a lot in this movie, looking... which is
he's so yeah,
you
sweet.
You want to pet him so bad every time you see him. Know. You feel bad. I wish it was shown him throughout every murder, not like being a part of it, maybe like hiding his head.
Yeah. There's like he didn't want to be part of it. He didn't want to be a bad boy.
There's even a scene where he meets the lead dog and they stare each other down. And then the lead dog just lets him in with them. And he like lays down next to them.
Yeah.
It's like.
Like, welcome to my lair, yeah, bitch.
Exactly.
You do what I say. Yeah. You're in my Get town now, That's your motherfucker.
That's your corner. So, one of the things, so we were talking about before with this weird thing with this rich father is trying to get his son with this woman. He actually makes everybody leave except him. The son stay behind with the woman. And then we kind of see that the woman's talking about like random things and he's not interested at all. But what we start finding out about him, there's this really funny moment where they walk into town because everybody went off in town and they're all hanging out at the local bar with all the fish, like the guys we've already mentioned, who were the fishermen, and they're all having beers. And then the son and the secretary show up there. Her name is Lois.
This is my secretary, Marge. Lois, she's our cook this week. Real good fish cook.
And they show up there and the rich father's like, why are you here?
As if they're supposed to be banging
back home.
Back at the freaking cabin.
She starts telling him, this is where one of these scenes where I was like, oh, I like where this might be going. Like, she starts saying that, you know, like shocked, you know, he talked to me. We've just been talking. He's been telling me about things. He's very smart. He's just been telling me about nature and all these interesting science things. And I've just been sitting here. We literally went for a walk for 2 hours. He didn't try to grab my boobs once. That's what she says. I love it. And he's like, the father's disappointed. But the way she's talking about it was like, he is not like any other guy. And she seems like, I liked it.
I mean, okay. First of all, she's ditzy as hell, though. But the best thing is like, this plot line is so stupid.
But it kind of feels sweet. Like they're setting up something here that like feels a little sweet. Like she kind of likes like he's wants to share things with me. And no guy does that. Like guys just want to grab me.
I get it. But what is the reasoning that you're here, doll face? You're here because you were supposed to have sex with this guy.
But like, now maybe she's into the idea. Like she seems like that. That's why I was a little weirded out. And the father's like mad about it. But one of the weirdest things happens.
Because he's paying her overtime.
I guess.
Get a little bonus.
What?
A little bonus on the side.
Oh, jeez.
Type something. We're paying you for this.
Nice. I was going to say real quick, because in the morning, what I thought was one of the weirdest moments, because I thought, oh, they're going somewhere where these two might be main character people, because maybe she's liking him, because, and maybe he's going to start liking her because she listens and they have a connection that's not your normal connection. And in the morning, one of the oddest twists comes that everybody's going to go back in town and he wants the secretary and him to stay behind. And she's wearing like a bath robe on the couch. And everybody goes and the son's like, no, I'm going to go in town with you. And I don't want anything to do with this woman. And she's just sitting on the couch like, eh. When everybody leaves, the backer is still there with her. They look at each other. And she does like blowing her fingernails.
Yeah,
but it looks like she's making a gesture to him.
She was painting her nails, but yeah, it looked like she was.
She looks at the banker and does the motion.
Yeah, just use your imagination.
And I was like, wait a minute. The banker and this woman also having sex?
She a hoe.
That's why I was like, okay, so everything I thought was happening in this movie or would happen in this movie just got thrown out the window.
And why is she there? She's there because the father wants her to have sex with his son to turn him into a man
or whatever.
So she's there as basically a freaking concubine.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I could see, like, okay, first of all, that just, when she was talking, that's why I'm telling you, whole scene was off-putting. Because when she was talking about how the son was, like, just talking to her and educating her, I'm like, really?
She was, like, smiling about it. She said, we just went for a walk together. Like, I've never done that with a man. And I was kind of like, oh, I kind of like where this is going. This made me think of, what's her face in Quark on Deep Space Nine.
Oh my God.
It was such a weird, out of left field, like, thing, you know? The romance there.
Who was dating Quark again?
Right behind you, we have a sign.
Oh, yeah, Leda. That's right. No, she wasn't
the Davo
dating.
Girl.
She wasn't
they got married.
Dating Quark. She was
not Quark,
dating.
Rom. Jeez.
Yeah.
I just lost my Star Trek.
Rom. And Nog was the son. Yeah. Leda was dating. See, that's. You expect me to get it right, but you don't get it right.
I'm sorry.
Lost your Trek card.
Well, anyways, I thought that's where they were going, so now I don't know. But later on, what's really funny is that the son and her go for a walk again. He forces them to go on another walk. And what's funny about this is, like, she's like, okay. So they're going to walk, and he virtually says here, the son says, oh, you know, my father does this a lot. Where he's like, now I have a car. It's too old for me now, and now you should have it. Virtually, he's saying that the father was sleeping with this woman, and you're giving her to me.
Yeah, so it's like a sloppy seconds used car.
Kind of. He's just saying, like,
she's
he does this all the
car.
Time. Like,
yeah.
He pushes his things on me like I'm supposed to be just like him, and I don't want to be.
I feel like that was a little bit insulting. Because, I mean,
oh, it's totally
basically
insulting,
calling her a used car.
But she is. She's there for this specific thing to try to get him to do whatever the father wants him to do. And so he's absolutely right. Like, I don't want any part of this. I don't want to be like him. So I was like, oh, this is interesting.
We don't have to do anything. We can just sit and talk. Do you know what I mean? I can tell your father it was all just fine.
Oh. I don't like being pushed. I hate the way he shoves me around. He's always doing that.
I know.
I have nothing against you. It's just my father always spoils everything. I mean, when he's had a car a couple of years, then he gives it to me. Know what I mean?
All this is going on, though. Jodan Baker is now figuring out that these dogs are a problem. And so he's trying to figure out because his dog's hurt. The horse is dead, right? And so he's also trying to figure out. And also they had a giant storm. And the storm messed up the dish outside.
He can't call the mainland to have the boat come and help them.
Yeah. So he can't call for help or anything like that. And that's like a setup there. And the why that this is all important is that his girlfriend is attacked. All the dogs chase her her VW bug.
This is savage.
And they're ripping over the roof. He's got to like come and shoot at them to get the dogs all to go away.
Yes, yeah, so this is like the main I guess, the jolting. So, like, they're like, holy fuck, this is a main, yeah, this is a major problem. This is, like, this is going to be ongoing. These dogs are attacking everything. We're screwed. We can't even get out of here because the radio is broken.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, we can't call for help.
Well, so, yeah, the ferry, it doesn't come for another 4 days.
Yeah.
So they're stuck.
But the son and that woman are walking. They're out walking. And, yeah, that he hears, he starts hearing the dogs. And he, the son, has also overheard the idea that there is a rabid dog. And then he's like, hears multiple howls in the woods. And he goes, he told me there was only one. And then he's starting to realize we're being surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of just said, he just told, he just looks at this woman and he just like runs.
He takes off running and leaves her. Like, yeah. Just, I mean, first of all, this is next level. Like, this guy is the biggest wuss of all time. Like, you just left her. Like, that's just terrible. So he's running away and then she starts running. So she falls and tumbles down a hill into a freaking riverbank. And he runs to the cliffs where the freaking ocean is, which I was like, okay, this guy's smart.
Yeah.
Because maybe he'll jump in the ocean and he'll get away from these dogs and save himself.
He's too high up, though. Yeah.
No. He's on a cliff, and what happens? The dogs are coming right for him, and he falls to his death.
Yes.
Nobody ever finds his body, by the way.
No, well, yeah, no, it's washed. No one finds his body.
But when it comes to poor Lois, the secretary, she decides that she's going to run through the wilderness, and then she finds the freaking barn where the dogs are. And
there's a storm.
There's a storm.
So she takes shelter in the bar.
Now, this is the scariest part of the movie for me. I was like literally like terrified because she crawls in there and she just rests and she falls asleep. And then she wakes up.
Yeah, we know the whole time we're like, oh
my God. Yeah, like, she's dead. But she wakes up and you see her slow-mo waking up and she turns and all the dogs are sitting there staring at her. She is cornered. This is the scariest part of the movie for me. I just never seen such freaking terror.
Yeah.
Like, these dogs were snarling but they were just sitting there staring at her with their like
just growling. Yeah.
It was so scary. And I was like, fuck this movie. Like, I felt bad for her. I was like, oh my God, they don't show it.
Yeah, we don't see anything there.
They don't show
it. They just cut away. And we're like, wow, where are they going to go? Well, there's no way she makes it out.
There's nowhere for her to go.
There's just kind of a thought that maybe she will somehow survive. Like, you don't really know. You're like, holy shit, are they really just going to do that?
Yeah.
And that's when everybody starts realizing, look, there's a huge problem. He basically, Joe Don Baker starts telling everybody, and the rich guy's like, my son and my secretary are out there. And they're like, there's no way we're going to find them now. There's a huge storm. We're not going to be able to find them. And he's like, let me go and check. I'll drive around and look anywhere I can. So he goes and he finds the blind guy. And he goes to his house. He finds the dead dogs outside. And then he goes in the house and he sees that he's ripped up shreds. They don't show it. They only show his reaction.
You can see blood splattered everywhere, though.
He gets in the car. And by the way, I love this because Joe Don Baker shoots a tree that blows by in the storm because he's so scared. And I was like, that feels real. Like, I mean, he's just fine. And he's kind of right because the moment he gets in his car, they are all over the car. They get there. And that's the scene where he's driving around and they're like attacking the car and he drives off. And then he's scared out of his mind and he's got to get everybody and tell them. And when he gets there, he virtually has everybody in town together and he tells them and they're like, we need to go find the son. Like, we have to go find them. And then he kind of realizes, you know, I was going past that barn, that old barn out there, and I could smell something was off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he's like, maybe that's where they're holding up.
Yeah. So he went there. And that's where they find poor Lois.
The father of the son comes with them, and they go inside. And all we see is like hair and blood. That's all we see. Oh my God!
You don't even need to see it. Yeah. It was just so like upsetting. It really was. Like I felt bad for her. It was upsetting.
Yeah, but the father freaks out and he goes on the run and he takes their car and their shotgun. to go find his son, but he's driving like a madman who's freaking out because his son's dead. His secretary's dead. This is his fault, you know? And the dogs start chasing his car, and he starts trying to hit them with the car.
Now, this is where I was a little bit on edge, and I was, like, just, you know, squirming in my seat, because I thought that any minute, one of these dogs is going to get hurt, because the trainer literally had them nipping at the tires as the car is moving.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you have to see this to believe it, because, like, they were nipping at the tires and nipping at the car as it's out of control, like, you know, it's kind of slip sliding in the mud.
Yeah.
And it was just everywhere. And I was like, either one of these dogs is going to get run over or sideswiped or something, like clipped.
Yeah.
It was very scary. It was like, oh my God, this is, I literally had to look away at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, one of these dogs is going to get
there's
hit.
Shots that are like, oh my God, that dog must have got hurt there.
Way too close.
It's crazy. But this dumb idiot gets stuck in the mud and naturally he gets out of the car to shoot them.
You know, as people do.
He has one bullet. I don't even know what he's doing.
You have one bullet and you get out of the car with a pack of dogs there. Yeah.
What do you think happens? He completely gets
obliterated.
But they show up and stop the dogs from eating him fully. And he is still alive. And in the next scene, they're trying to call in the morning. They're trying to call for help. And we see this guy in bed. His eyes are bandaged up.
He can't see.
They say that he lost his eyes, his fingers.
He lost all the fingers on one hand and two of the fingers on another hand.
And this is like, now we're not supposed to like this guy or feel anything for this guy because he's an asshole. But he begs the other woman that's with him to kill him.
Yeah.
Marge.
Yes.
Kill me.
And I was like, oh my God, that is horrendous. Like, I feel terrible for this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel so bad. And it is not said if she does kill him, but in the next scene, in some wacky acting from one of the sons, he comes in and tells Joe Don Baker, he's dead. And he's like, how do you know? Because he's not breathing anymore.
Dad?
Yeah.
I think the man's dead.
What makes you say that?
Because he's not breathing.
It just felt so weird.
I mean, it was a very off-putting, stupid line.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, you're dealing with, like, what, he's 10 years old, this kid? But, like, honestly, I think they didn't show it, but I think that
I think she killed him.
I think the secretary, whoever that woman was,
I think she suffocated him.
But how terrible. Do you have, I mean, to let this guy make it through this and then kill him? But, like, at this point in the movie, this is the point in the movie where I was getting, like, really mad. Because I'm like, okay, Joe Don Baker, and he's with a bunch of people that have half a brain cell, okay? They're not stupid people. Why didn't they make a plan? Because these dogs are starving. They're feral. They're hungry dogs. They're eating people. They're eating other animals, right? So why didn't he make a plan to, like, you know, throw a pack of steaks and, like... in the middle of the yard.
You kept saying this during the movie.
And just get them to, like, lure them in and then throw some, like, Molotov cocktails at them or something. You know, this all could have been fixed right here.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yeah.
Because movie.
Thank you.
Would you want it to be 30 minutes?
No. But also, at this point in the movie, we're in an hour in at least here. So.
And they also don't know what's happening, and they're all trying to figure it out. And he's got two kids with him. There's a lot of what-if factors going on here.
True. Well, they're all holed up in this, what would you call this? A radio station?
He's got, like, his science lab where it also is, like, where they can call out.
Like, they have a dispatch, like, the radio equipment and
stuff.
Yeah, it's
like a whole thing. They send the older man on a small dinghy.
Okay.
To paddle out to the mainland.
I'm going to correct you on that. They do not send him. He volunteers.
He volunteers. When I say they send him.
80 years old at least.
Yes.
To paddle 18 miles to the shore on the other side.
All of this is, all of the help is on this guy. Now, one of the craziest things in this movie is that we don't see him for a while. We actually forgot about him. And then we find that he has been found by like the Coast Guard. And he is dead.
He had a freaking heart attack in the dinghy.
Paddling in that water.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
I was shocked by this. I was like, holy crap. Because we didn't mention this, but this guy is an asshole.
He really is.
When the one son went missing, he basically said, when the son went missing, he said to the father, he said, hope that dummy got up in a tree. And then he goes, if he could get his fat ass off the ground.
Well, if he's got any sense, he'll climb a tree. If he can get his fat ass off the ground.
Damn you.
I was like, holy shit, we know he's dead.
It was so freaking mean.
Yeah, it's like, so crazy.
I didn't care about him at all, because he just kept making off-the-cuff comments about people in a really rude way. And I was like,
multiple
all right.
Multiple times,
so
too.
He's, you know, we had kind of like, you know, character cliches here. There, we had our protagonist, our ditzy blonde, our useless character, our mean character, our helpful one. So we had like, you know, each box was checked.
Kind of,
you know?
Yeah. He does say when the rich guy dies, he does go, one less asshole in the world.
It was terrible. But so then when he dies, we don't give a shit.
I know, you kind of feel like we actually thought he was going to get the worst death in the whole movie because they were setting him up. No, that's what I like about this movie. You never know what's about to happen.
You never know what's going
to
happen.
And that guy just died off screen. They said that he was still alive, that he might have had a heart attack or a stroke, and that he's still alive. But he's like...
Well, he was the only hope to get someone there.
But I'm just saying, like, he's just laying in the boat like a vegetable.
Yeah.
We don't know if he ever wakes up. We never find out about him again.
No.
They just said he's still breathing, but he might have had a stroke or a heart attack. And I'm like, oh my God, is he just like lingering there now? Like,
it's crazy.
Like, we never find out ever again. So it progresses. They shut in because they have that guy's dead body. You know, that's dead body in the house, and the dogs can smell it, and they're trying to get into it.
So they start attacking the house, and they start attacking the windows, and they're trying to, like, you know,
it's
hit
intense.
Them and, you know, get them. I mean, they're fighting them off. They're fighting the dogs off.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't stop staring at all the wounds on these animals. Like, it just looks so real. It was so off-putting.
It's incredibly shot.
And
it's
so off-putting.
How they, like, the trainer and these dogs are incredible in this movie. Like, without a doubt, like, and by the way, it looks like the actors are doing all their stunts. Like, there's a part where Joe Don Baker falls out of a roof in this movie, and that looked real. I'm like, if it wasn't him, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
I could not find any information out.
Yeah.
But I multiple times gasped. I said, holy crap.
It definitely looked
that?
Like Joe Don did that. But
when the dogs are fighting them, it looks like they're really on
it
them.
Does.
It's like
and,
insane.
And like, oh my God. And just the idea of like the main dog, the leader of the pack, like this woman is grieving the loss of her boss who she probably just smothered. So she's all fucked up and she just looks out the window and sees this dog snarling at her. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Next level terrifying. If I saw it, I would lose my mind. She screams bloody murder.
Yeah, she's almost catatonic the rest of the movie, that woman. Like,
yeah.
She's just in the corner staring. She actually slaps Joe Don Baker. She's like, because she says something along the lines of, every time we need you, you're never there. Like, I was like, I feel bad, but it's kind of right. Like,
I mean,
and
yeah.
He's like, how could I know? Like, how could I know? Like, it's that whole Brody thing where it's like, you knew and you did nothing. And he's like, I just found out yesterday when you guys all found out.
Yeah, like, did not deserve that slap by Mrs. Kintner.
No, not at all. It was actually the mayor, but well, let's go on from that. But let's not get into a Jaws rant.
Well, anyway, so at this point in the movie, these dogs are just hungry for blood.
Yeah, they actually dump the body in the ocean.
Yeah, they have to dump the body because that's what the dogs want. They want the food, and that's what's attracting them. But they're still lurking about. So
because they still know they're in there.
They're in there, and they're like licking their chops. They want to eat them. It's crazy. They're like vampire dogs. It's just crazy.
Now, one of the weirdest things happens here. In the morning, one day, the banker is the one that's on guard, and he hears a boat. So this idiot opens the door, runs outside, leaves the door open, and tries to signal this boat. And we see that there's three kids joyriding their boat. And it's the weirdest moment in the movie because he's like waving a shotgun and they're like, hey.
They're smiling and laughing. I'm like, even you stupid fuckers. I'm like, first of all, he shoots in the air. They like, laugh. Help. You know, it's like the equivalent of shooting a flare if you're, you know, SOS yes. or whatever. And they're just laughing and giggling and then they just drive away.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those scenes that totally freaks me out because the guy's like, are you fucking kidding me? They just drove away.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and he's at the end of the fucking dock and there's nowhere to go. And these dogs are right there snarling and staring at him.
Slowly approaching at him.
And creeping up on him.
And what we find out, because I was like, dude, just jump in the ocean. And we're like, oh yeah, he can't swim.
He can't
swim. They set up that this guy is not a swimmer.
He can't swim. Now, this is the most amazing thing. It's like, I already said this to you. When anyone goes on a vacation to like an island or they live on an island or if they're from, you know, the Caribbean or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can't swim. I never understand that. Like you live on an island and then now you're vacationing on an island and you don't know how to swim.
Yeah.
Like it's always a plot point in these movies.
Yeah, it really is. It is. It's one of those things that is kind of a cliche. To have a character go to an island and not know anything.
Of course.
And we're going to go fishing, but I'm not going to learn to swim. It's like, right. No, I'm not going.
Right.
I feel like his character was forced into coming. I think there's a lot of that in this movie where this rich guy that made them all come there because he wanted something to happen. Yeah.
Like, why is there a banker there? Are you going to buy the island and he's going to drop the paperwork? What the freak is the reasoning? It didn't make any sense of these characters.
Yeah, he said something about team building, but I think he was like really, he wanted the son with the secretary. And he had some kind of weird plot. Like, I don't know why. I guess he can also do his business with his banker. I have no idea. And what the woman does, I have no idea.
No.
So
I didn't really care about these characters. I just wanted to see, you know,
I just think carnage. It was well done because it set up the idea we didn't know what was about to happen with everybody.
No, but
because
I cared about Joe Don.
This banker is going to die here. But he doesn't because Joe Don Baker hears the shotgun shot and jumps in his car and goes down the ramp. He actually hits one of the dogs, kills one of the dogs with the car and goes to the end of the pier and is able to save the banker.
I really want to know how they did this shot because literally the camera was behind the truck and he's going over the pier and the dogs are in front of him. And it looks like he's literally hitting all the dogs like bowling pins.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that shot.
The shot is behind the truck and on the floor. So it's getting this shot of like the dogs falling over. It looks crazy.
And they were yelping and stuff. And we were just like, oh my God.
A lot of that could have been like after put in sound effects.
Of course, but I'm just saying like it looked like holy shit, how are they doing this scene? Because it looked like he was just bowling them over.
It does look crazy. And I would say, like I said, I already warned everybody, like if you are going to think about watching this movie and you're a dog lover who can't watch dogs get hurt, like it's there. There's stuff that's like whatever they did here is just nuts. Like
yeah, for real.
Well, Joe Don Baker saves the banker. He gets everybody back to the house. And then he comes up with a plan. Like, everybody get in the trucks. All the people get in the truck. Only two of us are going to stay behind. And he tells his other friend, the fisherman, like, we're going to stay behind. I'm going to go in the house. I'm going to lure all the dogs into the house. When I do, you hide in this truck and you get out and you push the stuff against the door and trap them inside. And then when we're inside, I'm going to go up the attic. You set the whole place on fire. Let them all burn. Right? So
this was my plan from the middle of the movie.
kind of. You keep saying meat bombs and stuff like that. You kept saying.
Get a nice pile of meat, you know, lure them in and throw some Molotov cocktails. Boom. You're done.
Just hope it works. Okay. So there's a staircase that comes out of the ceiling that you pull down.
For the attic.
For the attic. And the plan almost works. All the dogs go in the house. The guy is able to push the things against the door, trap them all inside. The one dog with the necktie that has the rope around his neck still gets caught. So he can't go in the house. So he's outside, stuck on a tree.
Yeah,
he
plot can't get point. That
thing. Plot point. And then everybody else is inside. And no, this is crazy. Because the one lead dog knows that they trapped him. So he's like going at the front door trying to get it, but there's so much stuff in front of him, he can't. The other dogs are all on the attic staircase that he's trying to pull back up.
Yeah, and they keep jumping on. It's so awesome. It's so well done.
It's so well done. But my favorite thing about this is the lead dog gives up on the front door and then pushes all the dogs away off the staircase. He literally pushes them off the staircase.
Yeah.
And then he goes up the staircase to try to get Joe Don Baker. Yeah, he's crawling up the staircase.
Best actor in the movie, yeah. This dog.
And Joe, the guy is like, he yells out, burn it. Joe Don Baker's going to die here. We're like, whoa.
I was like, wait, is he sacrificing himself? He's going to be stuck in the attic.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's his girlfriend and his kids, like all these kids, he wants them to survive. So the guy starts burning the house. And the one lead dog gets up the staircase. The staircase is closing. The rest of the dogs are downstairs.
This is so
tense.
While
the fire's happening. And he grabs an old springboard for a mattress and holds it between him and the dog. And the dog is trying to get through the springboard. And it is intense. It's like, it's
amazing.
Intense. And he finally pushes it. And the dog is like trapped under it.
Yeah.
And he just nose dives right outside the window from upstairs, falls down the roof and goes down on the floor, and the whole place is burning. And then the lead dog is able to jump out the window as well, and it misses him and it hits the tank and is like kills itself by hitting head first into this tank.
Yeah,
this gasoline tanker.
He almost made it, that dog, but the gasoline tanker was right there and he fell into it. And the blood, yes, they show it, but the blood is like next level, you know, giallo fake.
Yeah, we should point out that all the dead dogs in the movie look very fake.
Yeah, that's the only thing that made me be like, okay.
Yeah, you know, every time you went, okay.
Yeah, because I was like upset, but then I would see that there was just ridiculous giallo paint. And I was like, okay, this is cheesy. It's just a stupid, you know, stuffed dog. We're fine. But when they were actually alive and, you know, attacking is when I noticed the patches of like what looked like hair missing, and like they were brutalized, these dogs. And it didn't look fake to me. It just didn't.
I understand. But like, again, he was a rescue dog. They could have just, he already might have had patch problems and stuff like that. And they might have just added some makeup.
Okay, that's possible, of course. I mean, I don't want to think there's any animal brutality going.
Let's end the movie, because the dogs in the building all burn. We don't hear them. We don't see any of that. We just see the house burning. And we just go, they're all in there. And the people who are supposed to leave come all back in their truck, which I would have been pissed. Like, I did this. What if they all didn't get killed and they were all loose and you guys drove in? They saw the fire, so they came back for him. I still say, like, that's nonsense. Like, he don't know if he made it or not.
Right.
And they could have jeopardized themselves. When they get there, he said, we beat them. Like, we stopped all the dogs. Like, all the dogs are dead. But then the banker sees the dog tied up on the tree. And he grabs a tree trunk. And he's going to beat the dog to death.
I was like, oh, no. And then this is the scene that really got me, because I was like, oh my God, I think this dog is really terrified, because that was the collie in the beginning of the movie that the family let go. And he was crying, like whimpering and whimpering, like he was scared shitless.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't watch this. But Joe Don Baker stops him and gives him some crackers that he had in his truck and shows him that, you know, look.
Because he knows he's starving.
Yeah, you're starving and we're not going to hurt you. And the dog ends up calm.
The last shot is Joe Don Baker reaches out with his palm down and he goes up to the dog's nose, and the dog nose touches the palm and it freeze frames, and that's the credits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this. Even after all of this, Joe Don Baker is still like, I understand
yeah.
why they went bad.
Yeah.
And he feels bad, and it's like a cross between the two, realizing, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, man. Movie. Good job, man.
I mean, it was really well done. It was really well done. And I'm going to say, as a movie goer, I could totally like prolong this movie and like go on to make a list of things that you are not allowed to bring on vacation to this island.
Yeah, honestly. Who would ever go back again?
Yeah, like no pets allowed.
Oh.
That's the end of it.
New rule.
Do not bring your dogs here and then abandon them to become feral monsters. I mean, sick fuckers.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, this movie, I really, really like this movie.
I enjoyed this movie, and we didn't mention it, but we forgot to mention the MVP. The MVP is Joe Don Baker's character's dog.
Yeah.
I think he has a dog named Riley or something like that.
Yeah.
And the dog in the movie, every time one of the dogs comes in, there's a scene with the banker. We keep thinking the banker or the woman are going to die any minute. They don't. The banker actually, like a boss, steps in and tries to help this Riley dog fight off the other dog.
Yeah.
And he is like trying to pull the dog off of the other dog because they're fighting in the room. And the whole time I was going, damn, the banker's a boss too.
Yeah, it's boss level.
He just gets up and tries to help.
He got in between this crazy feral dog and this domesticated pet who was trying to help by attacking the feral dog and trying to save his life. And then he's like, no, I'm going to save your life, dude.
Yeah.
And he just freaking got in between them. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
It was like the first time the banker character isn't the asshole. Even when he went to the side of the dock and he dropped a shotgun and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was trying to save them.
Yeah.
Like he was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Everybody was mad at him because I was mad. He left the door open. They could all have died.
Yeah.
But he was trying to signal for help.
Yeah. I mean, in that situation, are you really thinking? You're just like, holy shit, I hear a boat. It's like when you're on the Lost Island.
Exactly.
You know, and you're like, you know, hear a plane going over something, chopper, and you're, he just lost his mind. He's like, holy shit, we're saved. But this was one of the best, like, dog attack movies I've seen in a while. I really like this one.
I was surprised comparing it to the last two we watched. Like, this is impressive.
Yeah, like there was no characters that did the ultimate stupid shit of all time where we were so annoyed and face palming, like, oh my God, I want this person to die. Like that kind of thing.
Even when the son got killed and even when the father got killed, I was like, I get they're terrified.
Yeah.
And the one's like wants revenge because his son is probably dead and that girl is dead. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why he would be out of his mind idiotic.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get it. I can't fault the movie in those senses.
I understood all these characters, though.
So it's
like,
I get it.
I really did. I understood these characters. I mean, the only one that really didn't have much to do was this blonde lady that they brought with them who worked for this.
Yeah.
I have no idea who she even worked for.
It's odd. I mean, she works for him, but I don't know what she's doing. A lot of times they show her, she's on a typewriter. So I didn't really understand what she was up to.
Yeah, it made more sense that she was the secretary and not the other one.
Yeah, that's the actress that was in Wrath of Khan. It's like, that's really strange. Like, it's a strange character. But I liked it because I just assumed she was going to die in any scene. Like, I was just waiting. Like, and when they all made it, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Even the fishermen, like, I didn't expect them to survive.
Yep.
I didn't know where they were setting it up. I thought they were going to kill him too. Like, and I was impressed by it. Like, I don't know. Like, if I had to score this movie, I feel like I'm going to a 6. But I feel like I can see why it would be justified. It's as a 7, but I don't think I can go that high. Like, it's not, like, mind-blowing or anything like that. But I was impressed. And it's definitely better than a 5 that it has on IMDb.
Yeah, it's definitely a 6. This movie, it had a lot of things that were like, holy shit. Like, I was scared for these characters. And I was scared for the dogs, too, of course, many times. Like, they almost got hit by cars. And it was just very, like, it made me worried for them.
Yeah.
Because any stunt at any time can go wrong. I mean, we've seen a lot of stunts in movies go wrong, you know, and people or animals get hurt. And I felt like, oh my God, these dogs are going to get run over or something. It's because when they're attacking and Joe Don Baker is trying to hit them, you know, to keep them outside, and he's got a bat and he's inside the house trying to drive them off with a bat. It looks like he's really hitting them. But I was watching.
I was watching too.
That he's not.
Yes, he's purposely missing, and the dog is like reacting like it's a toy that he's playing with.
Yes. So I was like, okay, so there's a plan here. They're not just willy nilly, you know, striking these animals, and that's just freaking savage, and they wouldn't do that.
And that's just us watching the movie as like real movie fans, where we're trying to, how did they make this movie?
Yeah.
If we were like, shut your brain off, we would be more like, holy crap. Oh yeah. My God, this is, they're messing with they're hurting these dogs. I can see why someone would have the opposite reaction.
Yeah.
But I was looking for technical stuff, like how are they doing this technically?
I was watching everything because I was like, oh God, I don't want these dogs to get hurt. And I was literally watching everything. But I thought this movie was very well done. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I recommend it.
Yeah, when we were watching, I was reading some of the goofs people had on IMDb where they were mentioning that you can see the prosthetic fake face on some of the dogs.
I couldn't tell.
I honestly couldn't see it. Maybe it was because I was just too enthralled by what was happening in certain
scenes. I wasn't really looking, to be honest with you, but like, I couldn't see it. And I would be able to pick out a film flub like that. You know, like if they were actually flubbed and you could see, I would be able to pick that out because I do look for stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it. So I'm going to give this a 6 too. I really like it. I like this movie.
Yeah, I enjoy this one. I can't imagine next week's will be any better. I feel like we'll be back down.
What do we got coming up next week?
It's called The Breed.
Oh,
there's
shit.
There's only so many names you can name a dog tag film. I mean, here we are with The Pack. The first movie was just the first movie was just called Dogs this month. Just dogs, you know, and everybody else is like, damn, they did it. Someone took that name. What about The Breed? And, you know, what's funny about this too, is when I was looking up The Pack, there is another movie called The Pack as well. And I thought that was funny. And I was like, I wonder if it's a remake, but it didn't show up as a remake, but it is another, it's like 2015 film.
Oh yeah. I saw that on IMDb.
Yeah. It's like a farmhouse movie. So I don't think it is a remake, but it just so happens to have the same exact name, and it's also another dog attack film.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, they're running out of titles, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's only so many you can have.
Yeah. You can't have Hellhound. You can't have anything anymore. Like, everybody's already thought of it.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a movie even called Bitch, wasn't there? Or is that? I know what I'm thinking of. There was a movie called Bitch Slap. We saw once.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was something completely different.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't a dog film.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't find, sorry, Lisa, if you're listening, but I can't find any.
I would always have to say sorry. Tens. There was no ones or tens that we saw a 3 and a 9. And that virtually was exactly, the 3 was exactly what you would think. Was basically like, this movie isn't trying hard enough kind of a thing. And you're like, ah. Really? Because it does seem like they are trying hard.
I mean, yeah. Like there's a lot of effort put into this.
I mean, I did not see many flaws. We watched in Dogs, if you go to our first movie this month, we had a lot of pointing at goofs. We saw so many goofs that were unreal.
Yeah.
And in this movie, I really couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just couldn't find goofs. I was just like, whoa, oh my God, how'd they do that? What's going on there?
I couldn't, I mean, some of the scenes were awesome. Jumping through windows and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It was pretty rad. So yeah, I recommend seeing this movie.
I recommend it for people who are like looking for horror movies that are kind of like outside the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that this is probably a good cult movie.
Yeah, a cult movie for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Good way to put it.
Yeah.
This is very enthralling. I liked it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that we were like, how are we going to talk about this movie? Because I know we're enjoying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's not like there's a lot of funny bits with dialogue or anything to mention. No. There's only that weird stuff with the sun that's just really bizarre.
Yeah, just bizarre stuff. But like nothing like that would make us like facepalm or be like, ugh.
Yeah, nothing. Like,
no, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
And we rarely have these kinds of moments where we pick a movie and it's just, you know, willy-nilly and we end up really liking it.
Yeah.
It's talking trash is supposed to be a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's odd because that's what we're looking for. We're actually looking for movies like this. I don't even think we've added anything to our list this month so far.
No.
So, yeah, it's so bad. It's good. Yeah, you know, it's not bad enough to go into the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's funny. Beck from who picked our theme last month, she pointed out online. She was like, you're not going to do Breed Apart? There was a movie that she found called Breed Apart from 2000, this year or something. I'm like,
what?
Oh my God, it looked like a home movie. I was like, you're evil.
You know, I got some homework for Beck.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you watch some shit.
Oh, it's so funny.
And then report back. And I would like you to send me a typed up, double spaced, in a binder report of your findings of the movies that I want you to watch.
She also knows that next month we're watching cat films. And she sent me a suggestion and she sent me a clip of the movie. She filmed her TV screen and the clip was hilarious.
Oh my
and
God.
I said, are you kidding me?
Okay, like,
I
cannot. So it's on believe the list.
I didn't have it on the list, but maybe we might have to make an exception and just
watch
it.
You gotta show me the clip because you didn't show it to me.
Yeah, I didn't show it to you because I was like,
you always
do
like
I
me
wait
to go in blind.
I like
so
when you go blind because I know you'll laugh harder. But you know what's funny, I could show you and I know you totally forget.
No, by the time that rolls around, I'm old and senile. I forget. So yeah.
Oh God. But,
all right. So that's what we got for you guys, and I highly recommend you watch this if you stumble upon it because it's a really compelling.
This is another
dog
one that,
movie,
and I hate this because we collect physical media because I feel like we have to save some of these movies because I feel like they'll disappear. I do feel like these dog movies will disappear because people are becoming more and more sensitive to this type of thing. And mm-hmm. I think people do not want to see animals get hurt in movies to the point where these kind of movies will be abandoned and completely, like, you know, just destroyed from the world, like they don't exist.
Yeah.
And this movie was on Shudder for a little bit and then it was taken off and it's kind of hard to find. So I do feel like these movies will all disappear quickly one day. So I don't even know if it, like, the physical form of these movies even exists. Like, I don't even know. So
I don't know. You might have to try and find it on, like, I wouldn't say YouTube, but
yeah, it's not,
because it's probably cut a lot, but
yeah,
if it's on there,
but yeah, it's not on there. Yeah, so yeah, I think movies like this are kind of important to see in that sense. All right, until next week, we always tell you if you guys have seen this movie, if you have a different opinion, or if you have a theme for a month that you want us to do, or a movie that you think is so insanely bad you want us to watch, we'll watch it. Just hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at the Crafty Misfit, and tell us what you think. We'd love to hear it, and as always, we appreciate you for listening, and until next time, have a good one. Bye.
What happened?
Well, he read for an hour, then he started to talk. Did you know that wolves mate for life, and if one of them dies, the other one never mates again? And people think they're so civilized. Look at the wolves. Beautiful.
You could have stopped all the talking.
But he's very interesting. I mean, he just sat and talked. He didn't even try to grab a tit.